Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's have a seat. So as we've been talking about a little bit this morning already, today we're continuing our sermon series called The Revealing during the season of Epiphany in the church. So Epiphany is a season, a day in the church, and then a season that we don't pay as much attention to maybe as we should. It's really a season of light. It's a season of God breaking forth, revealing his glory to us, particularly his glory through Jesus. So during this series, we're taking a look at some of the ways that God does just that. Last week, we looked at the Magi, often called the wise men. We talked about how they were wise men in the sense of having worldly wisdom, but that worldly kind of so-called wisdom really didn't get them anywhere, that God had to come and graciously reveal his son to them, just as he's graciously revealed his son to us. So today, we're going to be spending some time reflecting on Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River as the Holy Spirit came down on him in the form of a dove as he kind of showed us what his mission was going to be. And as we do that, I'd like to start out with a little bit of a confession. This Bible story, this narrative of Jesus being baptized in the river, was never really my favorite. I don't really know why. Most of the events in the Bible, the things that are told to us for our benefit, they all kind of seem to get me excited or intrigued in one way or another. And for whatever reason, the baptism of Jesus never used to do that for me. Maybe it was because I just never could quite understand why our perfect, sinless Savior would come and undergo a baptism for repentance when he had absolutely nothing to repent of. I don't know exactly what it was. But I know that for years, I didn't really fully appreciate the importance of this event until I was taught how special it is by my 2.5-year-old son, who's now 5.5. So let me share with you a short video that was filmed on location at the Adams household during bedtime just a little over 3 years ago.
And baptized him in the water of the... Right, River Jordan, for the forgiveness of their sins. When Jesus was about 30 years old, he came to see John on the bank of the river. I want you to baptize me in the river, said Jesus. John was very surprised. Jesus had done nothing wrong. And John thought he didn't need to be baptized, but he did as Jesus asked. When Jesus came out of the river, the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. And a voice from heaven spoke, "This is my
son,
with whom I am pleased." It was God's voice. Very good job.
So, for whatever reason, now that was Ethan's favorite Bible story for a long time. And I came to appreciate it more and more every night as I would read that with him, really as he would read it with me. By the way, I got his permission to share that with you today. And he's watching from home right now. He and his sister are recovering from the flu. But thank you, Ethan, for letting me share that. So my prayer for you today is that if this event for you, kind of like for me, really just never made sense, I pray that you would leave with kind of a childlike wonder at what Jesus does here, and that you'd understand more and more exactly what it reveals about Jesus and about us. So I'd invite you to get out your sermon outline. I forgot to bring mine up here to show you, but you know what it looks like. It's in the little connect insert there. And then maybe take that home with you too. There's some questions on the back. There's some Bible passages that you can kind of continue in what we're talking about here today. So as we get started, I kind of want to ask the question, what does the baptism of Jesus reveal about Jesus? As I already mentioned, Jesus had nothing to repent of, obviously. So why did he decide to undergo this baptism specifically designed for sinners, for those who needed repentance? The first answer to this question, the one that we kind of hear the most often, is at the same time really simple but also pretty complex. One thing that the baptism of Jesus reveals about him is that he came to identify with us. You know how when someone's fighting cancer and the chemotherapy just kind of robs them of their hair, what do friends and family often do to kind of try to show solidarity with that person? They shave their heads, right? I mean, they're not dealing with cancer and the effects of chemo, but they want the person who is to know that they're right there with them in the fight. In fact, my seminary in St. Louis, every year, President Dale Meyer there, along with some brave students and faculty members, shave their heads every year as a fundraiser to support St. Baldrick's Foundation to Conquer Childhood Cancers. So at Jesus' baptism, our Lord, who had no need for repentance or forgiveness of sins at all, came to identify with us, came to show us that he is right there with us in the fight against sin. As President Dale Meyer actually wrote in a devotion just a few days ago, because the Bible teaches that Jesus is sinless, he wasn't baptized for forgiveness as we are. He was baptized to identify with us. We, on the other hand, are baptized to be identified with him, the sinless one. Through baptism, Jesus truly becomes Emmanuel, God with us. Now, it's kind of interesting the differences in the Gospels when they're telling us about different events. Luke's Gospel goes through it kind of really quickly, but Matthew's Gospel has a fuller kind of explanation of what happened at Jesus' baptism. But Luke's kind of points out something that's really easy to miss. It's kind of like a sentence fragment here, this portion. He says, now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, kind of just mentions it in passing, but I think what Luke's doing here is linking the baptism of Jesus with all people, because that's who Jesus came for. All people. All of us. He came to identify with our sin, with our sorrow, with the pain that comes from living life on this earth with all of its commensurate suffering and even death. In the Jordan River, Jesus was showing solidarity with us sinners. But this didn't make sense to John the Baptist. Now, I'm cheating a little bit here because I am going over to Matthew's longer account in his gospel. But John couldn't understand why a sinless Savior would need to be baptized, and he didn't want to do it. He actually objected to being a part of this. And do you remember what Jesus' response was? He said, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness." So that's the second thing that the baptism of Jesus reveals to us about him, that he came to fulfill all righteousness. Now, righteousness is this big, long, kind of churchy word. And I love big, churchy words. Those of you who know me know that, because they're so important. They're so full of meaning. But sometimes they can be a little bit confusing, too. And so you've maybe heard me say this before. I always share this with our Christianity 101 class. But righteousness is actually a very simple concept. To understand it, all you have to do is kind of take the usness part off of the word. Righteousness equals right. To be righteous means to be right, to be the way that you are always supposed to be. Jesus' baptism is in many ways the kickoff of his public ministry, and the ministry of Jesus, the mission of Jesus, was to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, to make everything right again. Now, this means a lot of different things, but primarily what it means is that Jesus came to deal with the problem of our sin, to make us right with God again when our sin had separated us from him. At his birth, Jesus took on our flesh. At his baptism, Jesus showed us that he came to take on our sin. One of the other unique things about the baptism of Jesus is that it's one of those special few places in the Bible where all three persons of the Trinity are present and clearly seen. So Jesus is being baptized in the river. The voice of God speaks from heaven, right? God the Father. And the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus in the form of a dove. So here God's revealing himself to us as Trinity, as three in one. And as the Trinity is being revealed, This is revealed about Jesus, that he is sent by the Father in the power of the Spirit. In my reading this week, I found out that apparently many Jews in Jesus' day believed that God would speak to his people only kind of through voices from heaven during this time, because the prophets, as far as they could tell, had all gone silent. And so as the voice of God booms from the open heavens, Jesus is being revealed as God's only Son, sent by the Father to save the world. And as the Holy Spirit descends on him, Jesus is revealed for all to see as the one sent by God as the Messiah, the anointed one, one who is anointed not with oil, but with the Holy Spirit. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking more about what this anointing is all about, kind of what that means. But basically, here in the Jordan River, it means that the mission of Jesus is being confirmed. Now, it's pretty important to be clear on this point here, because there's been a lot of confusion over the years about what's happening here. This doesn't mean that at Jesus' baptism, he became the Son of God. He always was. It also doesn't mean that at Jesus' baptism, he became the Messiah. He always was. What it does mean is that God opened up the heavens so that he, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, could come down and forgive the whole world's sins. And that brings us to what the baptism of Jesus reveals about us. Because first, it reveals that we're sinners. Sinners in desperate need of rescue. In our Old Testament reading for today, from Isaiah 43, we heard God say, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Now, these are incredibly powerful words, and all the more so when you understand what they're in response to. Because Isaiah 42 ends with this long section on Israel's failure to hear and see God. Their idolatry had rendered them deaf and blind, to the point where God says of them, "This is a people plundered and looted. They are, all of them, trapped in holes and hidden in prisons." And apart from Christ, we were no different. Apart from Christ, that's where we were. It's quite fitting that Jesus allowed himself to be immersed in the waters for us, those drowning in sin. If not for our sin, there would have been no need for Jesus' baptism, no need for Jesus' death, consequently no need for Jesus' resurrection. But the truth is that we are the reason Jesus stepped into the muddy waters of the Jordan. We are the reason that he spread his arms of love out on the cross. Our unrighteousness was what caused Jesus to come to fulfill all righteousness. As he did in his baptism in the river by John, he was setting an example for us as his followers. He was instituting and blessing baptism, so that we might be baptized like him and receive the gifts that he promises there: forgiveness of sins, eternal life, salvation. As Paul puts it in our epistle lesson, those of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his what? We were baptized into his death. Will you read this part with me? "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that we too might walk in newness of life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So yes, the baptism of Jesus reveals that we are sinners, but it also and especially reveals that we are forgiven. Isaiah 42 ends with a description of Israel's sin and with God's wrath. But hear again how chapter 43 begins. "But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel." And then come these powerful words: "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Those first two words there are God's response to Israel's sin and to ours. "But now." We were plundered and looted by the evil one. But now we are restored. We were worthy only of God's wrath, but now he has poured out on us his love. We were lost in sin, deaf and blind to everything that's true and right and good, and we suffered for it. But now, as we stand on the banks of the river, one has come to suffer for us, to redeem us, to call us by name and make us his own. He stepped into the River Jordan to identify with us, to fulfill all righteousness, sent by the Father in the power of the Spirit. So when we pass through the waters, he'll be with us. Through the rivers, they will not overwhelm us. And we have passed through the waters, haven't we? We've been buried with Christ in baptism. The waters hold no terror for us now because Christ has transformed them. There's this beautiful quote I found from St. Maximus of Turin, and it's kind of long, but I couldn't bring myself to take anything out of it. So here it is. Reflecting on Jesus' baptism, he says, "What sort of baptism is this? When the one who is dipped is purer than the font, and where the water that soaks the one whom it has received is not dirtied, but honored with blessings. What sort of baptism is this of the Savior, I ask, in which the streams are made more pure than they purify? For by a new kind of consecration, the water does not so much wash Christ as submit to being washed. Since the Savior plunged into the waters, he sanctified the outpouring of every flood and the course of every stream by the mystery of his baptism. When someone wishes to be baptized in the name of the Lord, it is not so much the water of this world that covers him, but the water of Christ that purifies him. Yet the Savior willed to be baptized for this reason, not that he might cleanse himself, but that he might cleanse the waters for our sake." You were blind, deaf, a sinner. But as you came up from your baptism, just dripping wet, you became what God declares you to be in Isaiah 43, verse 4. Precious, honored, loved. So fear not, for he has redeemed you. He has called you by name. You are his. The same Spirit who descended on Jesus in the form of a dove at his baptism has descended on you also at yours. It came to dwell inside your heart. The same voice of the Father who spoke at the baptism of Jesus spoke over you also at yours. "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased." And he is. Because Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness by his death on the cross for you. You are clean because Jesus was willing to dirty himself for you. So fear not. Rejoice in him and walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, we'll continue our series by taking a look at the time that Jesus did his first miracle by changing water into wine at a wedding. Until then, may the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.